on that.
I ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 2 in particular, Psalm number 2 this morning. Psalm number 2, I'm going to preach a message entitled, God is in control. Amen. God is in control. How do I know God's going to take care of you? Because God's in control. And you tell me those, that hymn and the message don't go together. And God's in control. He is. It doesn't matter what the world says. God is in control. There's no question today. The thoughts, again, of most Americans, the thoughts of most people, the world population is thinking about one thing today. You say, well, yeah, it's Sunday. They're thinking about God. No. No. You know what they're thinking about, right? They're thinking about the virus. They're thinking about the COVID-19, the virus. But this morning, for a short time, I want you to get your mind off of the virus. Get your mind on what they're saying. And I want you to focus where your focus ought to be, where the focus of the whole world ought to be, which is on God. Because God is in control. If you leave with nothing else this morning, if you leave with no other thought this morning, you can leave with these two thoughts. God will take care of you because God is in control. He's in control. I want you to understand this. When this virus started, wherever it started, in China, it's not racist to say that it started in China. It started in China. It's a Chinese virus. God was not surprised when it started. He wasn't surprised. He wasn't surprised. He's not surprised now. He knows how many people will contract it. He knows how many people will perish because of it. And you know what? It's not a surprise to God. He's in control. You say, how can you say that? Well, because his word says that. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We have his word, and we can rest upon his word. And I want you to leave this morning with the realization that God is in, you don't have to worry about it, because God is in control. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Read the last portion of that verse, or this verse 12. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. God is in control. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are in control. And Father, nothing that will happen today, nothing that has happened in the past has surprised you, and nothing that's going to happen in the future will surprise you either. Lord, you are in control. You are omniscient. You're a God that knows all things. And Father, we praise you today because you are God. We worship you, Lord, and you're worthy again of our worship. Lord, you're worthy of the worship of the whole world. Father, that this morning the world would turn to you, that the Lord would seek your face, and Lord, that souls would be enlightened again through your word, and Lord, that people would come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and Lord, that they would be saved. We ask for your blessing now upon this time. Bless your word. Pray that you'd guide and direct, Lord, everything that's said and done, that you might be glorified in it all. We thank you. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm, Psalm 2, is a messianic psalm. It is a psalm, again, which speaks of Christ and ruling in the kingdom. And so it is for when? It is for the future. It's going to happen. It's going to transpire. Nothing that man does is going to affect God's plan. Everything that God has said he's going to do, he's either done it already or he's going to do it. And you can rest upon it. There is no, there ought to be no fear in the heart of the believer. Should we take precautions? Absolutely. Take precautions. Take care. Don't be foolish. But don't live in fear. Don't live in fear. Don't allow what the world is doing and what the world is saying to put you, if you're a child of God, in fear. Why? Because God is in control. Let's look at this passage this morning, a simple message this morning as we look at the Word of God, but I believe a message that that reveals to us what is going on and helps us to realize this. Things are no different today than they have been in the past. And they're no different today than they will be in the future. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Do you hear that today? Let us cast their cords. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast again away their cords from us. The deceiver has done a great job in turning God's creation against God. And man has accepted the deception of Satan and has followed in line, lock and step with him in turning against God. And today the heathen do rage. Today people imagine a vain thing. What is the vanity again that people are imagining today? What is the vanity? What is the rage of all the people? Well, the rage is against God. For years now, the rage has been against the Word of God. They have decided and desired to take God out of the public eye. Now, it is Jehovah God that they want to take out of the public eye. It is the name of Jesus Christ that they want to take out of the public eye. Because if you want to worship Allah, you're welcome to do that. If you want to speak the name of Confucius, you can go ahead and speak that. If you want to have images of Buddha, you're welcome to do that. But don't have any semblance of Christ. And they rage. And they imagine. They have vain imaginations. By the way, vain imagination, they're empty. Their imaginations are empty. Beyond lifting up religion, what is it that they lift up? They lift up government. Now, we're not anti-government. We're not anti-government. We're grateful for a government. And by the way, as believers, we are implored to pray for those that are in authority over us. Whether we agree with them or not, we are implored to pray for those that have the authority over us. That's our responsibility. That is what the Bible tells us that we ought to do. And we ought to be doing that. Not just simply when a trial comes. Not just simply when a virus comes up and people's lives are threatened. But we begin here, and God is in control with rebellion towards God and rage toward His anointed. There's no question in my mind this morning that the world is in rebellion against God. Have turned against God. Everything that they do, everything that they say goes contrary to God and to His Word. For the last 3-4 weeks now, we've been hearing again of this coronavirus. And people have been making judgments and have been given guidelines again as to what we should and what we shouldn't do. But I don't know about you, but I've not heard, as of yet, any of them say, we need to turn to God. I've yet to hear it. I don't know. I haven't heard it. I've not heard it from our leaders. You remember 9/11. You remember 9/11. It's hard to believe, 20 years already. But when the president spoke after the Twin Towers and had been hit and these planes had fallen and things of that sort, one of the things that the president said was what? Pray for America. I've not heard it. I've not heard it. We have people making policies. We have people, just telling us how we ought to live our lives. And you know what? They're not even seeking God. The World Health Organization. I hadn't heard of the World Health Organization until now. If you look at the World Health Organization, the people that are in charge of the World Health Organization, you can't pronounce their names. And people say, well, that's your fault for not being educated. You can't pronounce their names. They come from countries that are godless. Countries that have not sought the Lord. Countries that are not seeking the Lord. And these are the people that are doing what? Making policy. Putting people into a frenzy. The Center for Disease Control. Who are they? Who's running these organizations? Whoever they are, they're making policy not just for the the CDC is making policy for our nation or helping form or mold a policy. But they're all people that are what? Intellects. They're educated. Nothing wrong with education. But their philosophies are being formed by what they are learning in the universities. And most of the universities in our nation today are anti-God. Their intellect is their God. Their learning is their God. There's a rebellion towards God. There's a rage towards His anointed. Now there's an individual that stands out in the political scene as a believer who proclaims the name of God, the name of Christ. He calls himself a Christian. That's the Vice President of the United States. Now, as soon as they placed him over whatever was going to happen with the coronavirus, what happens? He's attacked. Why? Well, because he doesn't believe in science. You can be a Christian and believe in science. Why do they hate him? Why? Because he proclaims the name of Christ. Because he says he's a Christian. I don't know what his doctrinal stands. I don't know where they're at. And they don't either. But simply because he says he's a Christian, he's attacked. But they're raging. They're raging and they're allowing again this virus and they're allowing this virus that is, as far as they're concerned, has gone out of control. But 10 years ago, we had that H1N1 that by this time had killed more people than this virus has. And nobody went into a frenzy. Nobody was concerned. They weren't shutting schools down. They weren't limiting, again, the people meeting more than 500 people. No, it's live your life. You're okay. Just use caution. But if you speak up as a believer, what are they going to do? Oh, we need to put you aside. Oh, you need to be set aside. Your beliefs don't go along with the intellects. Your beliefs don't go with the doctors. This isn't coordinated. We're not against doctors. We're glad they're around. But they've made medicine their God. They've made medicine their God. And people are replacing, the heathen are replacing in their minds and their lives, they're replacing the true God with the God of government, with the God of intellect, with the God of medicine. They're imagining vain things that what? The answer is where? The answer is in throwing more money at this. The answer is in government taking care of the people. That's their prayer. No, they're not there to take care of the people. They're there to protect the people from foreign invasion. Otherwise, stay out of my business. there was a time in history when a child of God, when a man that served God was willing to present God to the heathen were willing to uplift that man. I'm speaking of a man by the name of Daniel, who read a dream again of Nebuchadnezzar and told him the dream and the interpretation thereof. And because he proclaimed again the God of heaven having revealed to him the dream, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up Daniel in his kingdom. But not today. Or you're a Christian? Why don't you go ahead and step down? You hear of these socialist individuals who are running for the nomination to be president of the United States. And they very clearly stated that anybody that is pro-life has no part in the Democratic Party. Now, if you're a Christian, I would have a problem with the Democratic Party. Why? Well, they're for abortion. And abortion is murder. And we can go on from there if you like, but we're not going to. They're in rebellion towards God. They're in rebellion. The world doesn't like believers. The world isn't cheering you on to go forward in your Christian walk. But I want you to know something this morning. God is in control. Because they can rage. They can say whatever they want. They can lift themselves up. They can do whatever they want. Again, make whatever policy to take the Word of God out of the public eye. We don't want the Ten Commandments in the courthouses. We don't want prayer in public. You're not going to thwart the plan of God. They're not going to change what God has already said he's going to do. Look at what the Bible says here again. Psalm 2 and now in verse 4. He says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." You know where they're at right now? They're in derision. They're confused. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. Not just the politicians, by the way. But the Lord is in heaven. We read last week in Psalm 11, what? If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? The Lord's in his holy temple. They're not affecting God. You see, what the scriptures tell us in the verses to come, they speak again of the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak of the wrath of God, and by the way, the judgment of God is coming. Maybe we are seeing the judgment of God. This is another opportunity again for man to do what? To turn to God. Instead of turning away from him, they ought to be turning to him. Instead of excluding him, they ought to be including him. Verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The people of Israel saw the judgment of God. They saw it in the wilderness. They saw when they came out of the wilderness and they came into the promised land and they didn't fully obey God. But we have God's revelation to man. We have his word and the word of God, the Lord gives us his plan. No man should be surprised if they die without the Lord. No man should be surprised if they die without the Lord when they come before the great white throne judgment of God. Because the Bible tells us what? That the seas gave up the dead which were in them. And hell gave up the dead which were in them. And they were what? They were cast into the lake of fire, which is what? Which is the second death. Well, there's no question what's going to happen to the wicked, to the lost. They can rage whatever they want. They can say whatever they want today. They can take whatever they want. But there's a declaration here that is given to us, a decree that is declared of the Lord. In verse 7, or in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. You see, God has given man an opportunity to escape his wrath, an opportunity to escape eternal punishment. And that escape comes through who? Through Jesus Christ, whom God gave to die for the sins of the whole world. God's revelation to man, his word to man is about who? Is about Jesus Christ. And how Christ came to die for the sins of sinful man. That's his revelation. This is what the Bible's about. The world hates the Bible, but the Bible is God revealing his love towards man. His hatred towards his sin, but his love towards man. And in his love towards man, God sent his son to die on the cross that we might have eternal life. But man has to come to the place of repentance and accepting Jesus Christ through faith. You see, yes, Jesus Christ came and he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. Yes, he did that for our sins. But there needs to come a time in our lives when we do what? When we repent of our sins and we accept him as Lord and Savior. God has revealed his plan to man and his word. The decree has been made. And his son will reign. The son well reign. He says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. What is that speaking about? That is the reign of God. That is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he came as a lamb. He came as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And he died and he rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But the Lord's coming again. He's coming at the rapture to receive the believers. And then he's coming at the second coming. He's coming again. And he's going to fight against the armies of the heathen. And by the way, it's not going to be much of a fight. Well, they're going to outnumber him. That doesn't matter. They can't outpower him. And he's going to reign. And he's going to reign with a rod of iron. And they're going to be crushed. Let them rage. Let them say whatever they want. He's in control. But God has revealed to man, there's no question again what's going to happen. There's no question. There ought to be no question as to what's going to happen. Because God has revealed, and it doesn't matter what the politicians say. It doesn't matter what the intellect say. It doesn't matter. Because God is going to do what he said he was going to do. It's not going to be thwarted. Oh, but the coronavirus. Oh, but the coronavirus. What about the coronavirus? Is your God not big enough to take care of the coronavirus? Mine is. I don't have to walk in fear. Now, once again, that doesn't mean I'm going to go to China. Don't be foolish. Don't tempt God. Well, I can go ahead and go and fly to China. Well, by the way, you can't do it anyway, but if you could, it wouldn't be very smart. But that doesn't mean change everything about your life just because of a virus. You see, God's plan is going to be, it's going to work out. He's in control. Nothing that man says, nothing that man does is going to change that. When God first created the world, he knew that in 2020, there would be a coronavirus. He knew it. And he knew how man was going to act. He knew it. But for those that are believers, you need to recognize that, realize what the Word of God says. Why are believers concerned today in America? Why is there believers today that are so concerned about what's going on with the coronavirus, that their lives are just in a turmoil? Why is that? You know why it is? Because they failed to accept the revelation of God. They failed to accept the Word of God, and thus their lives are a mess. As believers, we have the responsibility to show forth the glory of God. And how do we show forth the glory of God? By living in peace in times of turmoil. The world is falling apart. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Okay. God's still in control. God's still in control. Will believers die from the coronavirus? They might. They might. But my Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? It's to be present with the Lord. Why would you live in fear? Why would you live in fear? Huh? Can't live in fear? The Lord will deliver you from it or deliver you through it. Right? The Lord can keep you from getting it. The Lord may allow you to get it. He may. Oh, if I get it, that means God's not in control? No, that doesn't mean that. That means he allowed you to get it. For what reason? Maybe for you to draw closer to him. Maybe for you to trust him more. Maybe for you to just see his hand. I've been through trials where I've seen the hand of God. Huh? You don't just see the hand of God through the good times. You see the hand of God through the trials. Lord speaks there in verse 9, thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. They're to receive instruction. They're to receive, this is instruction for them to recognize. They're to use wisdom and understand, again, that there is a God that is bigger than they are. There's a God that is greater than our nation. We live in a great nation. But there's a God that is greater than our nation. There's a God that provides a better life than the life that can be had in America. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, you can be an American and not have an abundant life. But you don't have to be from America to have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. So what is the requisite? What is the requisite? Well, the kings, judges, and all those that come after. Be wise now, therefore. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Take instruction. Receive what the Lord has for you. As a believer, let the heathen do what they do. You see, God's plan is going to be worked out. They're not going to change it. He's in control. So what is your responsibility? The world's in chaos. It's a pandemic. Whatever that is. Huh? We're in an emergency. We're in a state of emergency. Okay. So what do I do? Well, my Bible says this. Be wise. He says, serve the Lord with fear. You know what you and I need to be doing? Keep serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord with fear. Don't fear what man can do to you. Don't fear those that can harm your body. We need to fear him who can harm, kill your body and cast your soul into hell. That's who you ought to fear. Fear him. But he says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice. What did Paul say? Rejoice. And again, I say what? Rejoice. You want to be a help during this time of this virus, of this state of emergency. You want to be a help? You want to bring glory to God? Don't get down because of the virus. You rejoice. You rejoice. You say, I should rejoice in the virus? No, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in Him. You see, because the worst thing that could happen to you is that you get the virus and you live through it. That is really the worst thing that could happen as a believer. I'm thinking, people, man, the Christians are crazy. The Christians are crazy. No, we're not crazy. Our hope is built on the Lord. Not built on this world. He says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. You know what? You don't have to see God's full wrath. All you need to see is a little bit of the wrath of God to kill you. That's all you need is a little bit. That's what He says right here. He says, kiss the Son. Humble yourself. What do we need in our nation today? You know what we need? You know what we need in our nation? And you need to start from the bottom up, but we need to see it from the top down. Our nation needs to humble itself before God. What do our politicians need to do? What do our leaders need to do? You know what they need to do? They need to say, you know what? I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer, but one thing we do need to do is we need to turn to God. That is the only answer that I have. We need to turn to God. Not put everybody in a panic. We're in a state of emergency. What do we do? He says, he concludes this verse where we started. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Blessed. Happy. Glad. Where's your trust at this morning? Where's your trust? You know, if your trust is in the Lord this morning, you're blessed. If your trust in the Lord this morning, you're blessed. You know why? Because the world's in a frenzy this morning. The world is in a frenzy. There's believers today that didn't go to church. You know why? Because I'd rather believe what the politicians tell them than what God says. Then trust God. They didn't want to get arrested. There's nobody arresting anybody. But recognize the position, the place that you hold as a believer. If you trust in Him, you're blessed. That's your place. You're blessed. You're blessed of the Lord. We are responsible. We are the requisite again for every believer. The responsibility for every believer this morning is what? The responsibility for the believer is to put their trust in Him. If your trust was not in Him when you came in this morning, put your trust in Him now. Put your trust in Him. Now. Just do it now. You know why? Because God's in control. He's in control. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what they're going to say tomorrow. I don't know what they're going to say. Some other intellect is going to come out with another idea. Some other doctor is going to come up with another idea, and they're going to say whatever they're going to say. Let them say it. I want you to know this morning, though. I want you to know that God is in control. And if you trust in Him, you're blessed. And if you haven't trusted in Him, guess what? This morning you can. You can put your trust in Him this morning and be among those that are blessed. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus. I don't know. But I'm not going to worry about it, because my God is in control. Father, we thank you.